NFL drafts weekend is behind us. We're getting a read on the Packers' selections during the 2019 NFL draft and looking ahead to next season and who we should keep an eye on in that 53-man roster. What was your reaction to the Green Bay Packers' draft picks last week? Did the team address your concerns after last season, or do you think Packers still have work to do? Do you want the Packers to pick more weapons for Aaron Rodgers? Join in with your thoughts on the Packers roster, 800-642-1234. Bob McGinn has covered the Green Bay Packers since 1979. Most of that time as a writer for Wisconsin newspapers, and he now writes about the Packers and the NFL for his own website, BobMcGinnFootball.com. Bob, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks a lot, Kate.
So the Packers had 8 picks in this year's draft and 2 in the first round. Can you briefly explain for us how the draft works?
The NFL started on the first draft was in 1936. And, you know, they see college football as their little
feeder
area to get players.
Yeah.
And it's a nice little minor league for them. And the worst teams pick first. The idea is to, you know, create parity within the ranks, give everybody a chance. And it's gone on from there. It used to be like 30 rounds, and now it's down to 7 since 1994, I believe, was the first year was 7.
And how many picks does each team get, and how is that order decided?
One pick per round, so you get 7 picks starting out. You can trade picks at any time. So some teams, the Packers, entered this draft with 10. And again, it's the team that had the worst record the year before picks first, and then onward down to 32.
So in the NFL, how important are these rookie players in general? How valuable are they?
Very. It's your lifeblood. They are the youngest players, obviously, and you have them for a minimum of 4 years contractually, and the rookie wage scale is such that they represent cheap labor. And it's very important to each team has a salary cap, and it's very important for these players not only to be good but to make the team for financial reasons.
Right, and you know, what is the learning curve like? Are they able to begin playing immediately, or is there a lot of knowledge that they have to gain once they get on the field with their new team?
Again, there's more and more increasingly, 25 years ago or 30 years ago, rookies generally had to sit a year, sometimes two. Coaches didn't want to play young players because they didn't know enough. But nowadays, now again, with this salary cap, which came in 1993, there's a tremendous thrust to have to play your first year, certainly by your second. You can't keep players that long because they're eligible to leave as free agents after 4 seasons. So it's all accelerated, and very rare is the player that can sit for 1 full year, let alone 2, you know, before becoming a key player.
Well, let's take a look at the draft for the Packers. Did you see any overall themes in their selections this year?
A couple. Big schools. Brian Gutekunst, the general manager in his second year, he loves big school guys, particularly from the Southeastern Conference down, and that's where generally the best college football is played, and he likes going down there.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. And then the other would be overall athletic ability and speed of the players he selected. Everybody likes those factors, but not everybody prioritizes that in their draft philosophy, but I think Gutekunst does.
What about defense? It seems like that was a priority in the picks this year.
Yeah, they took 5 of the 8 were defensive players, including the first 2. And they've drafted defense quite a bit here the last couple, 3 years. I think the feeling just, you know, at base is that Aaron Rodgers is the man on offense. And he is so good that he can sustain a very effective offense, and they needed help on defense.
So how did the Packers' defense stack up against other teams last year? Where do you see the need to improve?
Well, they weren't very good. I mean, they didn't, you know, there's a million statistics in defensive football, but the number one is how many times you can take the ball away from the opponent. And they were, I think, 32nd last or second last in that department, and that is just critical. And you need people that can rush the passer, knock the ball from the quarterback's hands. You need fast, hard-hitting guys to strip the ball from running backs and wide receivers who have the ball. So they had to try to do that, and I think with the speed we discussed, they may have succeeded. We shall see.
Bob McGinn is with us. He's a longtime Green Bay Packers reporter. He now writes about the Packers and the NFL for his own website, Bob McGinn Football. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Are you excited about seeing the Packers this year after the team's off-season changes? Will they beat the Bears on their other or their other division rivals? What do you think about the new coach? What do you think about the team's fortunes looking like in 2019? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Bob, who was the team's first pick, and what do we know about him?
His name is Rashawn Gary. He played at Michigan. He played 3 years there, then declared for the draft. He was the 12th selection in the first round. We know a lot about Rashawn Gary, especially that's my alma mater, and I know a lot about him because I pay very close attention to that program. I'm somewhat of a fan. Kate, he's a pick. I call him a gamble on greatness. He is the quintessential boom or bust pick. He has tremendous talent. He has all the traits to be a great player. He should have been a much more productive player at the University of Michigan, but he wasn't.
Why was that?
Injury really wasn't a factor. And this is the $64,000 question. Why doesn't he use his talent more? Some people think he's been entitled his whole career, that he came out of New Jersey as the number one ranked high school player in the entire country, and then he's been entitled and he hasn't worked that hard. Some people think he's a little bit lazy with his effort. Some people think he's not real physical for his size and his dimensions.
And he's big.
He is, 6'4 and a half, 276. Now, the real problems are, okay, number one, all of a sudden, will he turn the page, flip the coin, and become this go-getter? He's going to be playing an entirely new position. He played with his hand down in a three-point stance for the Wolverines. Now he's going to be standing up in a two-point stance. His 2 feet will be on the ground only.
Does that make a difference?
That's a major projection. You're looking at, you know, for 3 years in his whole life, he's been looking at the game with his hand down, you know, right near the ground. Now he's going to be standing up in space, so to speak. And this is, the opponents will definitely be trying to confuse him. I'll mention one more thing, Kate. He also has a shoulder injury, a shoulder that's kept popping out his last year at Michigan. This is probably, NFL teams believe, will lead to surgery at some point. And if it does, that's a 5 or 6 month recovery period. A lot of variables on this player.
The Packers selected a tight end with their fourth pick. Is he perhaps a new target for Aaron Rodgers?
It's got to be. That's his strength. Some tight ends are good receivers. Some are more blockers, and he is the receiver. He's a kid who he's one of the most interesting guys in the draft. He played 2 years at Kansas with absolutely no success. Went to a junior college in 2017, and then all of a sudden got a full ride to Texas A&M and blossomed overnight and had a terrific year. So he needs to, you know, further development, but there's a lot of skills and speed with this player.
And what is this player's name?
Jace Sternberger.
And where did Jace come out of?
Texas A&M, by way of Kingfisher, Oklahoma, population 4,000.
Well, we'll be watching. So did any of the Packers selections surprise you?
I was a little surprised in the second pick, you know, when the general manager traded up from number 30 to number 21. And to do so, he had to give up 2 fourth-round picks. And then he selected a safety from Maryland, Darnell Savage.
What do we know about Darnell Savage?
Darnell Savage is only 5'10 and a half, which is about an inch and a half below the prototype. He has great speed. He runs 40 yards in 4.35 seconds, and he's a really good kid from all accounts. He should be a good player. He better be, because the cost to the Packers of giving up those two fourth-round picks seemed exorbitant to some.
So Aaron Rodgers is 35 now. Do the Packers need to start having a plan yet for succession after Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it'd be nice to have it, but, you know, they have so many other needs, and I think, you know, Aaron has said he'd like to play to at least 40. So you can't get everything in a draft, and they just couldn't do that. And so that'll wait another year or two.
What role does Aaron Rodgers play as a leader on this team?
A very encompassing leader, a very large one. He takes leadership very seriously, and he spends a lot of time trying to talk to all areas of the locker room. Now, whether he's effective in this role depends on who you talk to, but he takes it very seriously.
The Packers entered the 2019 NFL Draft last weekend with 10 picks, but did the Packers make the grade in the NFL Draft? We're talking about it with Bob McGinn. He's a longtime Green Bay Packers reporter. He now writes about the Packers and the NFL for his own website. You have a line, 800-642-1234. Did you want to have the Packers, you know, did you want to see better options for the Packers? You know, maybe you think the team should have picked a quarterback or somebody to replace Aaron Rodgers. What do you think? Is the team poised for a rebound, or will this be another rebuilding year? Call in. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Back in a moment, maybe hear from you on the Ideas Network. Talking about the Packers' prospects for the 2019 season, now the NFL draft is behind us. The Packers ended up with 8 players, and it's been a busy offseason as they've hired a new head coach, Matt LaFleur, and they signed 4 new players in free agency. Question is, will they have their first winning season since 2016? And who should we be watching for? Who stands out in this 53-player roster? You can join in at 800-642-1234. What was your reaction to the Packers' draft picks last week? Did the team address your concerns after last season? You can call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Bob McGinn is our guide. He's a longtime Green Bay Packers reporter. Let's go to the phones now with Brian joining us from Sherwood. Hi, Brian.
Hi, good morning.
What's on your mind?
Hey, first I'd like to congratulate Bob on his success covering the draft over many years. He's sort of the draft savant, remarkable prediction ability. So, Bob, here's my question. In a pre-draft show on TV, WBAY did a recap showing that there's only 4 players remaining on Green Bay's team from the prior 36 players selected over 4 years. And really, that's the second least successful ratio in the NFL. What factors do you attribute to this lack of success, given the early success? So why did things change?
Oh, wow, well, great question.
Yeah, you know, Ted Thompson did, I think, 13 drafts, and he drafted really well in his early years and mid-years. In some ways, I think the law of averages just caught up, you know. He's drafting down low year after year. And, you know, it's hard to keep it up, and he had a really good record, and then his record in his later years was not as good. Other than that, I know Ted Thompson worked the same way. His staff really, he lost some very good scouts along with him to other teams as GMs, but he continued to work it the way he did, and sometimes it's tough, and I don't know, just percentages got him, I think.
Brian, what do you see now in terms of the GM, and this is being his second drafting season? What do you see about the strategy?
You know, I think it's a challenge just having 2 or 3 key difference makers per draft. So I'm optimistic that he's ahead of the law of averages. I think there are some talented people. I think last year's core group, Jair Alexander, was a tremendous pick. So hopefully that first group of Goody's picks improves, and then hopefully hit on one or two difference makers. I know Ron Wolf used to say, if you get one or two difference makers, they really flip the field for you.
Mm. Bob, what about those difference makers?
Well, you got to have them. Teams use color codes to rate their rosters, and from top to bottom, it goes blue, red, purple, and then down about seven categories to a brown and white. You need blues, and really Green Bay, Rodgers hasn't played like a blue for several years. You have one in David Bakhtiari. You have a close one in Devontae Adams, and you don't have anybody on defense right now, so they need some players to step up a level.
So in March, the Packers signed four free agents. How did that affect what the Packers needed out of this draft?
Oh, a huge effect. I mean, they said goodbye to Nick Perry and Clay Matthews at outside linebacker. And to replace them, they signed Preston Smith from Washington and Za'Darius Smith from Baltimore. And, you know, had they not done that, they would have had to been, well, Gary does play that position, so I guess, but they probably would have had to draft another linebacker, and they would have been in a huge quandary trying to find a good pass rusher.
So here the Packers have hired a new coach. Lots of changes here in the offseason. We've got the draft. We have the free agents. Have these recent new players shed any light on the changes in the team's playbook coming up next year?
Well, they haven't been available yet, really, to do any talking, any of the new players. You know, Kate, so the way NFL teams operate now, you know, including the Packers, they don't really like to deal much with the media. And
but what is Matt LaFleur?
Very limited.
Yeah, what is Matt LaFleur's philosophy? How does he handle his team?
Don't know yet.
We just really don't know
enough, Kate.
Yeah,
we don't know.
So that's definitely a blind spot that we'll have to be watching for. You know, how do all these changes, this leadership shakeup, have an effect on a team? Do fans generally react well to change?
Fans do, yeah, and so do players, because it's a fresh start and everybody is excited, you know, with change and hope for the future. And, you know, that lasts you for several months, sometimes a first year if there's some, if the results spawn optimism. But, you know, you got to do it. And the NFL is a really what have you done for me lately business. It's a cutthroat industry, and you got to do it quick.
So you've been covering the Packers for 40 years. Can we say much about the team's outlook at this point? I mean, months before the season starts, do they have the pieces to make the playoffs? Can you even project at this point?
It's hard, Kate. You know, let's look at history. I was thinking back the records of the previous coaches in their first year in Green Bay. Excuse me. Mike McCarthy went 8-8. Mike Sherman went 9-7. Ray Rhodes went 8-8. Mike Holmgren went 9-7. Lindy Infante went 4-12. Forrest Gregg went 8-8. So you kind of see the picture. None of them made the playoffs in that first year. Now, none of them had a quarterback, well, yeah, as established as Aaron Rodgers. So it's going to be tough. We have to see what Matt LaFleur, it's his first gig. He's only been a coordinator calling plays 1 year. He's got a – this is a massive change for him, and we have no idea how he will perform under the gun with in a situation that is really – fans around here expect this team to win. They expect the playoffs despite two off years. And, you know, this is a big job for him.
So after the draft, we also have a better look at some of the Packers' competitors. Which teams do the Pack have to worry about this year in their division?
I think the Chicago Bears with their defense, it returns mostly intact. The one player they lost was the safety Adrian Amos, and he came to Green Bay. So with their defense, the Bears are going to be good. The Lions are... I don't see them as a real contender, and the Vikings should be very good again. They were able to keep their defense intact with the re-signing of Anthony Barr, and so it looks like a two-team race, and if Green Bay can improve, that would make it a three-team race.
Let's bring in Elaine calling from Colfax. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I've always thought Aaron Rodgers was a beautiful quarterback, a perfectionist, and he just seemed completely unlike himself last year. I mean, he was missing very open receivers, and his timing was off. He seemed unhappy when he was interviewed, even kind of his dop was down, as my dad would say. It just did. I mean, it wasn't just his play. There was something about his attitude that was off, and I wonder if you could comment on that.
Thanks, Elaine.
Boy, yeah, I saw it too, Elaine. Some bad body language. Hard to say. I mean, it's very difficult to say what was going on. But the bottom line is he has to perform better. I mean, he's being paid more money than anybody in the league, and he is the face of this franchise, and he can't afford to let any outside factors, whether it be coaching, teammates, opposition. That's just the way it is, and he has to elevate his game back to where it was a few years ago.
So the Packers have seen lots of up and down since you've been covering the team through the decades. Is there another time in history that you think is comparable to where we're at right now?
Kate, when I started, they were terrible, you know? And and they were terrible basically from 79, my first year as a backup on the beat. I moved full-time to the beat in 84, and they were really bad until 91. And then at that point, they hired Ron Wolf as general manager, Mike Holmgren as coach, and traded for Brett Favre as quarterback, and the entire franchise changed. This is a down period, two-year down. There is hope, certainly. They have some good, really good players, including the quarterback, who must shape up. It's hard to compare this little interlude to others. It's a tough one.
Well, thank you for sticking with the beat. Thanks for joining us. Bob McGinn is a longtime Green Bay Packers reporter. He now writes about the Packers and the NFL for his own website, Bob McGinn Football. And we've been talking about last weekend's draft picks and how the Packers are setting up for the 2019 season. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network.